Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. You can now join us for live streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sundays. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon about the Bethel experience.
God is in this place, and I didn't know it. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had one of those experiences where it seemed like suddenly things just opened up? Things got bigger. The world got larger. The possibilities became more endless. The world as you knew it seemed to be suddenly way too small to hold something that was so big. God is in this place, and I didn't even know it. That phrase comes from our passage, and it's written about first with Jacob, this core experience for anyone who wants to or yearns to go with in a deeper way with God or have a journey that has depth. It almost always begins here. It almost always starts with this understanding that the world is bigger than I thought it was. For Jacob, it was while he was on a trip. And the interpretation of that trip and where he was going had a lot to do with who would be telling it. His mother would have said, well, I decided to send him to my brother so that he could meet the family and maybe meet a nice girl. His brother would have said, he's running for his life, he's cheated me, he's burned every bridge, the next time I see him, I'm going to kill him. Potato, potato, he's on a journey. And he's on a journey that he didn't choose. He's in a place that he didn't want to be, and that is emphasized in our passage when it says, when it came time for night in this lonely place. And he paints this picture so beautifully with just a few words that he had to use a rock for a pillow. There was no place to lay his head. He was literally in between a rock and a hard place. And then this dream. Every kid in Vacation Bible School remembers this story, or maybe you sang the song about Jacob's ladder, and you remember there was this dream, and when Jacob woke up from this dream, he says these words, surely God was in this place, and I didn't know it. I thought I was just in the wilderness. I thought I was just in a lonely place. But no, this is God's place, and he called it Bethel, literally the house of God. And it began to change his life as it began to change his journey. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I want to ask, what are the occasions when you've had the Bethel moments, the house of God, the ladder coming up and down, the gate of heaven, the portal into the divine? When have you had those moments? For some of us, it happened in churches. I've had plenty in churches. Some of my earliest memories, it was a field trip, and I don't recall how old I was. I just know that as I was walking down the center aisle of the church to go visit God's house, which is what I was told, that the pews ran about right here. So whatever age that is, 4, 3, 4, 5, and I was walking, and I just remember that this was a place that seemed amazingly different, and it began to open up that maybe there was something else going on in my world that I wasn't aware of. Even now, people walk into cathedrals, and they whisper. There's something about those kinds of places. There's something about those kinds of experiences of the presence of God that opens me up when we do sacraments, when we do communion and baptisms, sometimes in weddings and often in funerals. There is something about being connected in ways that snap me out of what I thought I was doing, and I become aware that I'm a part of something that is larger. It happens a lot in churches, but not just in churches. Some of the most profound moments of my life have been outside the church walls. It has to do with places like backpacking. And the one time when I was in college and backpacking and doing some solo time, and then being in this silence that became so overwhelming, as I've related before, I had to put my literally had to put my hands over my ears because the silence was so deafening. And there was this amazing sense that I was not alone. And that there was something powerful that was going on. I've talked about the time as becoming a father and with both of my daughters and some of those moments at 2 a.m. when I go to comfort them and it's my turn and I'm in there and I'm sleepy and I'm just hoping they'll go back to sleep. And in both cases, and it's more than once, there was this overwhelming sense of presence of God, that there was something else going on that I just was not aware of. Sometimes it's walking on a beach. And I recall walking on a beach one morning and just feeling like I was on holy ground. And then over the years, developing a sense and a practice of stillness so that what goes on doesn't have to happen just in a mountain range. I'm also, even in my own office and study, I'm able to come into the presence. But whatever that is, there is something that enlarges, something that changes, something that tells me that I am a part of something that is larger. And then in each of those cases, what becomes clear is it's not just a place. At its best, it's an awareness. It's an awakening. And it has less to do with a place on the map and more to do with the geography of my own soul. Where have you had that experience? Because if you haven't, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what it means to have your life suddenly opened up, and suddenly you begin to see differently, and the world looks bigger, and even you look bigger. Last week, I talked about what it means to not just survive in this time when we can't be together, but to thrive. And I said, there's 3 keys for me, and I offered them to us for this summer. One is to learn something new. The second is to do something new. Rather than focus on all the things that we can't do, what are the things that we can? But the third one is what undergirds it all, and it is become someone new. And that happens, I am convinced, as we learn more and more how to live awake, how to not be so distracted, how to be able to walk through our days and not just be ambushed by God once in a while, but to build an awareness of God in ways that I begin to anticipate. And so less and less the question is ever, is God here? And more the question is, am I? Am I aware of God who's right here? Richard Rohr says the same thing. He says, the issue isn't the presence of God. The issue has to do with my awareness. How are you on the awareness thing? In the next few moments, I'm going to invite you to locate some of those times in your own life, those Bethel moments, those moments, house of God, when the world is different and it just feels like you're in a different place and you know you're not alone and you're a part of something larger. And as you do, also ask this question. So what gets in the way of those moments? What tends to distract you? What tends to be the thing that in the midst that you're either so focused on what was behind you or what's in front of you that you never seem to be aware enough of what's right in front of you? What gets in the way? Even now. It was a lot of years ago. I was down in Colorado Springs with a youth group from Washington. And part of our experience was to go to the Air Force Academy. And if you've ever been there, you know there's this chapel. And as we're going into this magnificent chapel, as high schoolers often do, they were just completely unaware. And there was a lot of talking going on as we were walking through, and I could hear particularly one young man talking. And then there was this moment where he stopped. And without seeing him, I knew exactly what had happened. And it was confirmed when I hear from behind me, "Oh my God." And I turned to him and said, "Exactly. That's exactly what the architects and the builders of this place were hoping you would say. That's what this place is supposed to do. It's supposed to awaken us and to say, oh my God." That's what a Bethel experience is. That's what God is in this place and I didn't know it. That's what that's about. And once we've had those, I think there's really only a couple options of what we get to do. And the first one, the most typical one, especially at first, is we tend to enshrine it. We tend to, like Jacob, where he says he built stones afterwards and he poured oil on it and declared this is the place right here, this little piece of earth right here, this is the place. And we do that with people, and we do that with monuments, and we make shrines out of it. Or certain people, we say, oh, these are the people who are the holy ones. These are the people who somehow embody the Spirit of God. And we can do that. But there is a second choice, and the choice that I hope that we will take more and more, which is to embody it. It's to live into it. It's to let that experience inform us and not only just stay there, but become part of who we are. So that the place itself becomes a gateway. And it's not just the place, it's what it points to. Anyone who's been lucky enough to read the Chronicles of Narnia knows that C.S. Lewis does this with this image of a wardrobe. This wardrobe in the land of Spare-Oom. And what looks like just an ordinary box becomes a gateway into a whole nother world for Lucy and then her brothers and sister. And it changes them because what looks so ordinary on the outside, yet on the inside, now it becomes part of a world. And on the outside, it will always be just a box. But it's what on the inside, they know that something else has happened. Anyone who's ever watched Doctor Who knows what the power of the TARDIS, which looks unassuming. It looks like just a regular police call box. But when you walk into it, and the first time anyone walks into it, no matter how small and unassuming it looks, the common response is, it's bigger on the inside than on the outside. Because as you walk in, all the infinity of time and space is available. It goes on forever, and the possibilities are endless. And what the wardrobe and the TARDIS have in common is they are just portals. They're doorways. And when you walk into them, they have the power to introduce you into a world that is bigger, that is more amazing. And you begin to see everything, including yourself, differently. You never come back the same. At least that's the invitation. Have you had those moments? Have you seen that happen to you? When you no longer can see yourself, and you no longer see the world quite the same way, suddenly it has changed you. Now, what's at stake about all this is, this isn't just a sermon that says, well, listen, we're not in a sanctuary, but we can worship God anywhere. You know that. And this isn't even just a sermon about how to thrive in your own life for your own sake. That has great value. But I think the stakes are much higher on this one, because there is a great danger when we do the first, when we enshrine a moment, when we enshrine a place, when we call this the holy land, or this is the holy place, this campground, this building, this experience, this person. When we do that, we run the very real risk of creating a world that is even more divided than before. Because as soon as we say, this is the place that is holy, then what by implication we have said, but not that place, and not that place, and not that place. When we have said, that person is sacred, and that person is important because of what happened, but that means that not that person, not that person, and not that person. And we create a world of in and out, sacred and secular, what's holy and what's mundane. And then it gets very dangerous, the next step, what's worthy and what's unworthy, what we take care of, what we value, and then what we don't. The legacy of religious people at their worst is the legacy of a divided world where some places matter and some don't. Some people are worthy and some aren't, and we do it all in God's name. But the legacy of religious people at their best is a legacy of the world that where everything begins to be bigger and everything gets to be sacred. And we begin to understand that it isn't that God is in this place. It is that if God can be in this place, then where can't God be? And it's not just that God can be in our lives or in that life, but if God can be there, then where can't God be? And where wouldn't we find God? When Jesus is telling the parable of the sheep and the goats, and he's saying, whatever you did to the people who were the smallest, the least, the most invisible, the most unworthy, the most easy to ignore, whenever you did it to those people, you were doing it to me. He wasn't telling a story to somehow shrink God, but to enlarge the world. and to give us a different glimpse, that every experience has the possibility of being a portal, has a doorway, and an entry into a larger world that changes us and changes the world. The assignment this week, if we're going to thrive then, not just for our own heart, but truly for the healing of this world, is to begin the good work of making ourselves more and more aware, so we're less ambushed and we're anticipating more what might be. So we don't always get surprised, but we're constantly delighted in the places where God shows up, and we begin to see God everywhere. As we do that, and as we do that well, as we begin to live differently and interact differently, may we do it in such a way that as we encounter others and they encounter us, that they would begin to be able to say, because of that experience, surely, good, God was in this place, and I didn't even know it. This week, go. This week, may you go out, and may you experience God in the unexpected places. May your eyes be open. May you live awake. May you do the kinds of things and remind yourselves and stay open to God in such a way that we are constantly delighted and constantly enlarged. We get to do that this week as we go out. As we go out and we love God with everything we've got, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We do that as we go and intentionally love our neighbors as ourselves. Then our lives become doorways. As you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. As you go out this week, as you go out into this week, may the peace of Christ go with you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. And now, church, may you go and love your neighbor as yourself, and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Go in peace.